This is Betfred, the only video game system with its own video screen. Take it anywhere. Just plug it in. It's your own personal arcade. A high-performance system with a built-in game plus a whole collection of arcade cartridges like Scramble, Pole Position, Berserk. So if you're into video games, forget the TV. Get into Betfred. Light 10 and 3D imager available.
Tony,
I have to do the whole level again.
What are you doing?
I'm playing Super Mario, man. I'm trying to get up to the next. The
coins. Why are you playing? We're about to start the show. We are starting the show.
I know, but because the last volume of Scott Pilgrim came out this week, and we went to that thing at Midtown. I just have this. My mind is just back into the old school video games.
You got 8-bit nostalgic.
I got really 8-bit nostalgic.
Man, this is what happened. This has happened before.
I even went beyond earlier than 8-bit, and I took out my old like ColecoVision football.
You got 4-bit nostalgia
with the red lights in the football field.
Now there was the 4-bit, 8-bit, whatever, 24, 32. It got more and more.
I had a VIC-20.
Now what is the graphic for Asteroids? That's not bits.
We were talking about this.
That's like lights. I don't know what that is.
It's light.
Oh, you know what it is? I think it's considered Vectrix. Vector graphics. Yeah,
really?
Yeah. I think so. I might be wrong, but I think
Asteroids Defender wasn't that. What else was?
No, Defender was that, wasn't it? Oh, maybe not. Yeah, one that. No, I guess nothing else.
Starcastle was Vector, like Defender.
Okay.
I mean, Starcastle was like Asteroids.
And I was mentioning there was an old system called Vectrix.
Okay.
Where it was literally the asteroid light graphic type thing, and you would put a transparent thing on top of it in the shape of football or whatever it is, so that the lights looked like it was a different game, even though it was the same thing. And it was a vertical screen that would come with it, as opposed to horizontal, it was its own thing.
Because I was thinking, why hasn't anyone made a vertical movie screen?
Yeah.
Just crazy different.
And now with all this iPhone stuff, you're seeing more... Vertical.
Yeah,
stuff,
well, that's why I thought of it, because I was helping someone film something, and I kept... It looked like a flip cam. It was a tiny camera.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a really good quality camera, but I kept wanting to think I could do vertical and horizontal.
It makes everything look like you're looking through a door. That's
It's
kind of retarded.
All right, well, thank you for joining us. We are The Action Room. We are the Internet's only podcast involving Mike and Tony.
Yes, I'm
on the entire Internet.
No, it's true. Well, there might be one other.
Yes. Mike and Tony in Guadalupe, Guadalajara.
Yes. She services us from time to time. Okay, so what are we saying? Do you want to say all the intro stuff?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so we are Geek Radio. It's taken the world by storm now. Geek is everywhere now. Comic-Con is happening even as we speak. And you got to just get on the geek train. So we cover everything in geek and pop culture. We have
all aboard!
All aboard the geek! There's that old Cat Stevens song, "Geek Train Sounding Louder, Ride on the Geek Train." Okay. Anyway, we have new shows every Monday and Friday. You can join, follow, or like us on Facebook. You can do whatever you do. Just join us up there, and you can follow us on Twitter, and we're having a party on Twitter. You got to join the party.
You can like us on Facebook, but you can love us in real life.
And on Twitter.
And on Twitter. All right, so
later on in the show, we're going to bring you, as we always do, the nerd news and some tidbits from San Diego Comic-Con. And we'll also have an extremely special guest, a friend of the show. He's been with us many times, Jason Liebig.
And he's going to bring something, part of his collection, because he's a candy collector. I am so excited about this, what he's bringing in. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I am super excited.
We're going to make you wait.
This is the most excited I've ever been about anything on this show.
I've never seen producer Mike this giddy. He's like bubbling. He's jumping.
And that's after the break.
He's vibrating. All right.
All right, and speaking of the Scott Pilgrim, the final book came out, Finest Hour.
Yes.
We went to a midnight screen, not screen.
midnight
we
screening.
Midnight event at Midtown Comics.
Yes.
That was basically a kind of a costume party of people dressing up, and they were releasing the book at midnight. Now, did they do this across the country, or?
I think there were several midnight openings for the Scott Pilgrim Volume 6.
Okay, and so, basically, what did you think of the final book?
Okay, We got there. We got the midnight showing, midnight release. By the time we got out, we covered it a little bit. I had to read this book before I went to sleep. So I get home at around 1:30. I read the book. I loved it. Now, most people on the internet seem to have loved it also. I did speak to a few people who had dissenting opinions. They didn't like it that much. I thought it was a brilliant, incredibly satisfying ending. And it's, as we know, it's really hard to make a truly great ending. So much of things in our society, I feel like now, they have amazing build-up and a shitty ending. Like Lost,
so
you have this contentious ending. Inception, you have an ending that... it's not satisfying for a lot of people.
Okay, so this was the final book for Scott Pilgrim. People know the movie's coming out, but the book has been around for a while.
Yes.
And so this was like the final Harry Potter book.
Yeah, it really
finally
felt
came
like
out.
That.
Now, was it the kind of ending that like you didn't know what was going to go there, or you were just glad you knew it could go there and it did kind of thing?
It was definitely the latter of what you just said.
Okay.
We don't want to give away spoilers, but he really deals with every possible romantic permutation for Scott Pilgrim. Who could he end up with? Does he go back to all the sort of people he's been involved with? All of the supporting characters are dealt with beautifully. His main enemy, the final boss, Gideon, is dealt with beautifully. He's the villain, but there's a little more to him.
Now, the question is the movie going to be the same ending as the book?
We're not quite sure.
The book just came out, but
right.
The movie, it was already made. So what do we think?
Well, Brian Lee O'Malley, the writer and artist who's experiencing great, great success now, and his articles about him in the New York Times and the LA Times, he was writing the final book as they were making the movie. And he spent like months and months on set. And the movie sort of influenced his creation of the final book and vice versa. A while ago, they said they wanted the book and the movie to have different endings so that it would give you a unique experience. However, I read an interview with Brian Lee O'Malley a couple days ago where he implied and hinted that Edgar Wright, the director of Scott Pilgrim and also Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead, pulled him aside and said, audiences might really be pissed if the book comes out a month before the movie and they walk out of the theater going, they fucked up the ending. So that implied, but then a guy I was talking to, Thor from Midtown Comics, who he wasn't crazy about the final volume, but they've had all these test screenings. We got invited to one, or we got an email about one, but we couldn't go.
We were too old. they allowed for 34 was the final mark.
Yeah,
so
we could have lied about our age.
Whatever.
But we look young. But in any case, he said he heard from a guy who saw an advanced test screening that it is a different ending. So we don't know. I just know that the movie looks like such an amazingly faithful adaptation that I'm excited.
And so we'll take a break. After the break, Jason comes in with this exciting collector's item that I have not, all I'll say is I have not experienced what he's bringing in for close to 30 years, probably. Would
Man.
You say? Would you? If
30? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Since
almost 30 years.
Probably, maybe.
1980.
Yeah.
And it's not Star Wars related.
No.
All right.
We'll be right back.
All right, everybody, action fans around the globe, we have returned with our very special guest for this episode. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Liebig has returned to the action room!
So nice to be here.
Oh, this is like your third or fourth appearance, huh?
I think it's my fourth. It's a loving room.
The action room loves you.
You're kind of like the, David Brenner on Carson. You're
David Brenner on Carson, yeah. Or
like the most appearances ever.
Alec Baldwin on Saturday Night
Alec
Live.
Baldwin and Steve Martin, right?
Right.
Chevy Chase
or
on
Bill
SNL.
Murray on Letterman. Right.
That probably sounds right.
Now, Jason, you're a man of many skills and expertise, says.
Yeah, I think it's been clearly established.
How do we bill you? You're a former editor of Marvel Comics.
That's true. Very
for
true.
For many
former
years.
Editor of Marvel Comics.
You had a big hand.
Tony, he'd like to forget that, though.
No, I never want to forget it. But
you had a big hand in shaping Marvel's X-Men books in the 90s.
In the 90s, yeah, that's true.
And you were also an actor. You're
actor,
a voiceover guy.
Uh-huh.
You're a writer.
Writer, yep.
You are a collector of unique food and candy items.
It's crazy. Yeah, I'd say candy,
cereal.
Food, packaging, all the stuff that you're going to throw away. That's what I'm picking up.
He's acknowledged
trash.
As one of the foremost collectors in all of North America of
in
cereals,
these categories. Yeah,
candy,
yeah.
Soda, candy.
Also,
Kenny, it's pretty awesome.
And also, Jason, I have to say, Jason is great in bed. So.
Yeah, wow. Well, remember when we said the action room is a loving room?
So. Okay, here's the thing. I'm always excited when Jason comes on, but I have to say, more than ever, I am excited about this appearance. Right. This I have been waiting for this appearance for weeks
now. This came up. How did this come up? Because there was that Funny or Die video?
We were talking about the kind of things that I do and I collect and stuff, and you said, do you have, I think, right?
Yeah, now here's the thing.
Yeah. Okay, give us the backstory, because people don't know this.
Besides even Jason, maybe even before I knew Jason, I always loved Gator gum, which was Gatorade gum.
Yeah.
And I don't know, do you have a backstory on why they discontinued it?
I assume it's just people thought it was horrendous.
So maybe I was the only one that liked it, but I remember...
It was around for like 20 years.
Yeah. So I was thinking maybe there was something bad in it, like it was poisonous on some
red
level.
Red dye number 5 or, you know.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
And also, the company that puts it out, now that we're looking at... let's do it.
Yeah, let's...
There's too much. I'm too excited.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's get up to speed.
Okay, so anyway, so you told me a few weeks back that you actually, on eBay...
I found a complete unopened pack of Gator gum.
And I came a little. Is there a way we can do some kind of a thing on Facebook to try to get the people of Gatorade to bring it back?
It's a good
Gator
idea.
Gum.
Yes.
Now the company that does it was Swell.
Okay. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. As a candy collector, you've learned very quickly there is no written history. You can't really believe Wikipedia.
Really?
Yeah. There's it's
if
hard.
If only they had you 30
it's
years.
True.
Ago.
Well, it's true. So upon my search, because Michael had mentioned it to me, he'd asked me if I'd seen it, and I said, oh, you know, I don't have that, but boy, in my mind, I started working out, wouldn't that be great if I could find Gator gum for Michael, and lo and behold, it popped up. I don't know when Swell made Gator gum, so this could be 15 years old, this could be 30 years
Yikes.
Old. It's sort of like a grab bag.
Was it crazy expensive on
it
eBay?
It was made by Fleer originally, I think.
Okay.
I think it was made by Fleer. This does have, I believe, a date on it. This has a date of 1980. So we can assume that this is older than many of your listeners.
I was 9.
Okay, so here's the deal. I was probably like 5 or 6. Now, here's the thing.
Yes.
The exciting thing was not only that you brought it with you, because we'll take a picture of it. It'll be on our Facebook.
Yes.
Is that you are going to let me try it.
Oh, yeah, we're going to open it up, and a little game I like to play is try the vintage candy.
Now, what has been your experience with old candies?
It's good. You know, I'm glad you asked that. I'll tell you specifically. Now, I've got some old Snickers bars from 1981. Now, I'm not going to try those because those are a little too lifelike, you know. But with gum, I figured let's give it a try. Now, here's the thing I learned about gum. I can predict pretty well what this is going to be. Trading card gum that you get with baseball cards, that stuff just turns into like a powdery mess. It breaks up. It never gets moist. You can't chew it.
Okay.
Gum like this is going to be similar. It's a little thicker. It doesn't have a candy coating, so you're probably in trouble. However, gum that has a candy coating can oftentimes be... Preserved by the candy coating.
Collecting candy is kind of like the what's in the Oompa Loompa, the taste that never goes away.
Never ending.
Oh,
like
everlasting gobstopper.
You can never stop collecting candy. It's just on and on. Well,
that's the thing. There's always, what's great about it is it's so ill-documented that it's like you make, I mean, I've been doing this for a few years, that's all, but I've made all these new discoveries because...
That's amazing.
Know, everything's, you find new stuff all the time.
All right, I just want to say, Jason Liebig. Candy collector.
That's true.
All right. Yeah. Let's
like you're like Indiana Jones of candy.
Thank you. I am like Indiana Jones, but I don't wear a hat because I know how stupid I'll look in it. So.
All right. So we're about to open it up.
Wow.
Here we go.
It's
should
exciting.
I? Can I do it?
Yeah. Okay. Here's the deal.
Is there a way to open old candy?
All right. Procedure. This is where my geek comes out. You got to keep the wrapper intact, Mike.
Okay, fair enough.
Just, and not too crinkled? Or?
You know what? No, you know what? You can...
You know what? I'll let you open it. Go
I'll
ahead.
Start it. You know what? I'll start.
He's using an X-Acto blade.
I have
oh, my God, he is.
Just to peel it open. Look at that.
I am surprised you're allowing me to eat some of this.
Here's the thing, and this is the other thing about me. There are some people who like to keep these things with the candy inside them and everything.
Forever.
And the thing about candy is, after like 30 or 40 years, it can turn into a sort of sludge. All right. All right. We've opened it up. Okay, now here's the fun part.
So
okay, look at that.
Can you
right?
take a picture of that?
Yeah, I think you should probably take a picture of that. That's cool.
Do you want to open these
right.
two? Or?
You know what? Here's the thing. You can take one out. And right. Now, the fact that it's got a tight foil wrapper on each individual piece maybe gives it a shot at being somewhat edible. But we're going to save all the individual wrappers. Yeah. Don't tear them open.
We'll have pictures on Facebook. But basically, the covering for Gator gum was like a foil,
a green foil.
And there were three kinds. There was orange.
There was orange.
And I think there was a yellowish one.
There could have been yellow.
And I don't know.
There could have been red.
Was lemon lime. I remember Gator gum, but I remember an orange and a lemon lime, because they were the only flavors that Gatorade had back in the 70s.
But I think, didn't Gatorade also have another flavor that was yellower, more yellow?
They certainly did,
yeah. Yeah, it was like a lemonade or something.
I've seen photos of the orange Gator gum.
Yeah.
An old magazine.
Are there a lot of photos online of this gum?
Well, the thing about candy is it's really hard to find candy wrappers or anything like this. But the only way to really see a lot of this stuff is through old magazine ads and things like that, comic book ads.
So this was the green one, which I'm about to try to eat.
This is the classic.
Is the kind I used to always
get. He's holding it in his hand.
All right, do you want to open this? I just don't want to ruin it.
Look, if you tear one, it's fine.
Okay.
I'll pull
it.
You're
going to eat that silver
foil wrapping.
I'll
keep all the pieces, yeah, because it's got printing on it. It's got a little printing on it.
The individual wrappers on each piece of gum. On each piece of gum, it's like a silver foil.
Yes.
Oh boy. Now I'm opening it.
The color.
It's not powder. It looks pretty much intact.
But wait,
it's got some brown things on it.
Ah, okay. Now see, this is something you don't know about. Okay, I have a name for this, which I termed those little brown spots that you see. Now it's a nice greenish, limish color, right? Except for these dark brown specks or veins or whatever.
They're not dark green, are they?
This isn't going to kill me, right?
I call that candy cancer. Now,
great.
Candy cancer, awesome. I believe, is a kind of denaturing of the sugar. And,
because there's even sugar at the bottom.
You can see the little powdered sugar. I recently had gum that had candy cancer within it, and it tasted fine.
So I just want to ask.
Yes.
So, okay, now if it stayed, were you still in mid-cancer?
Well, the little pieces of it are flaking off like it's a mummy.
Is that?
Okay, well, did you have something to say before I digest
it? Oh, no. Here's the thing.
Candy cancer.
I think it's best to just go for it. Now, here's the thing. My guess is it's going to start out very dry, and it's not going to taste like much of anything. And Tony and I will watch your face, and I wish, I'm going to film it with my iPhone.
Okay, yeah, we're going to film it.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Now, what I remember about the taste of the gum was especially, it was sour, right?
Mm-hmm,
and it was just very strong and, I guess, bitter almost, too. I just loved it.
A pungent taste.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Wow.
And I've never tasted a gum that tasted like this, like that, ever since. You said that there might be an Orbitz gum that's
close. That's what people online have said, but they're probably
wrong.
They're talking
trash. Here we go.
All right,
okay,
he's holding it in his hand.
I'm about to eat it. Here I go. All right.
Closer to the
I'm kind of scared.
Any famous last words?
Yes.
Someone you want to tell them you love them?
Okay. I love the action room.
All right. It's entering the mouth.
Ooh, it sounds
God,
hard.
There's a hard thing happening there.
But I kind of taste what it used to taste like. But it's very hard.
Why don't you let saliva get to it before you chew it?
No, I think he's got the right approach. I think he's got the right approach. It'll get there. If it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen.
Wow. It's really hard because it's like eating like a candy, the hard candy.
It's like eating like a piece of hard taffy or something.
But I... Ugh. I still kind of taste it a little bit, but it's pretty horrible.
I hope everyone's gag reflex is holding in.
I want to swallow it to taste that. The way it used to taste.
Just keep chewing. Give it another chance, man. Give it another chance. Keep chewing.
All right, I'm going to try to swallow it.
Don't swallow it. It's gum.
No.
I see. The juice.
Do you need a napkin?
Oh, God.
That is the sound of pleasure.
He's recoiling, action,
we'll,
listeners.
We'll get a picture of that there, kid.
Oh, God. Now I'm not so excited anymore to eat my piece.
Look
at that.
It's basically like green dust
that
spit out.
It looks sort of like bird vomit. I don't know.
Can you take a picture with your iPhone? Because
that was gross.
It's really amazing.
You have effectively ruined my memory of Gator gum.
Hey, man, I did what I could.
No, you did it. You did it, man. It had so much promise when I first started. Ew, that's so gross.
All right, let's throw that little piece of vomit away or whatever it
is. We are gonna give my vomit gator vomit on eBay. We'll sell it on eBay.
Yeah, right. We're gonna recoup our costs here.
All right, so let's take a break. I'm gonna try to get well because I think actually I'm a little sick now. Eclipse, you brought some normal
gauze to cleanse the palate.
And this is only like a week old, so.
All right, so
we'll do this later or maybe not.
Oh, yeah. Let's take a break. We'll come back with the nerd news. Jason, you're going to stick around?
I love watching the nerd news in person. It's fun.
All right.
It's fantastic.
And we'll be back.
Remember that old commercial? You sank my battleship.
I do, Tony.
Well, there is an amazing new website, and it has nothing to do with battleship. But it is called YouBentMyWookie.com.
That sounds wrong.
You bent my Wookiee. What if my Wookiee got bent? What would happen?
I don't know, but it doesn't. It seems like you'd be.
I'd be in pain somehow.
Out of commission for a while.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh. Please don't bend my Wookiee, action listeners, but go to this amazing pop culture website with all the latest news in geek culture, toys, and collectibles. YouBentMyWookiee.com.
And you know what they have right now?
Oh, yeah?
An exclusive. And those are important for websites.
Exclusive, yes.
An exclusive
No
interview.
One else has this.
No one else. An interview with Corey Edwards, who's directing the Fraggle Rock movie.
Oh, my God.
I loved Fraggle Rock as a kid.
Oh, I completely love Fraggle Rock. Right. Gobo Moki Wembley Booba Red.
All right, so...
So my Wookiee is bent.
It is.
Ow!
Bend your Wookiee and go to YouBentMyWookiee.com.
Ready, aim, fire the nerd news!
Nerd news!
Nerd news torpedoes out, Commander.
I just realized I'm still chewing gum, and I don't want to be like Olivia Munn in our interview, so
yes.
I'm going to take it out.
But you're chewing non-cancerous gum.
Are you slamming Olivia Munn?
Yeah, wait.
No, we love Olivia Munn, but it was interesting, she would chew gum in everything she did. I don't know if that was she was quitting smoking or she just didn't want to eat a lot. And
it's unusual to a lot of people who saw our video and the Midtown video and other videos, they were like, she's chewing gum? That's kind of weird to do in a public appearance, like when you're promoting something.
So let's get right into the nerd news.
Nerd news.
The images from Thor and Captain America... The paintings that came out.
Came out
now,
of San
what was
Diego.
This exactly? It was posters for the movie, or
it was concept art, much like the Ralph McQuarrie, concept art that we all know as legendary Star Wars art. They look beautiful. One is Captain America in a World War II battlefield, and it's just gorgeously painted. I think I heard that these posters will be available to the public at some point. The Thor poster. It is a painting of Thor and Loki locked in Mortal Kombat.
Nice.
So, and they look fantastic. Of course, they're just posters, though.
But this is kind of
like... Do we
like,
know the artist?
No. There's a signature at the very bottom, but I didn't... Okay. No one really commented on
it.
I think it was Michelangelo. The thing is it's interesting...
Turtle power.
They haven't... Jason is kind of like our Artie Lang. He's just going to chime in with some jokes here. No, but the thing, just don't kill yourself. Try to kill yourself.
I'm trying.
That was a horrible joke. Okay, so my joke, not yours.
I got it.
With Candy Kit.
At Artie Lang's expense,
yes,
I believe.
He's awesome, though. I love Artie Lang. Okay, as far as the imagery with those paintings, they don't do that a lot with movies anymore, right?
No, this is new,
That's pretty cool.
And I think it's a way, I'm wondering, do they not have footage? And they're just like, here's a really cool concept painting.
Well, I mean, that's awesome, though, that they're kind of, it's a throwback to the way they used to. You wouldn't think they would go back to paintings for posters. I mean, that seemed to be dead long ago. So,
well, I think
cool.
It's more of a promotional thing. It's not really like going to be a poster that's shown in theaters or be on billboards.
It's still respect,
Right. Ralph McQuarrie in the house.
Well, I think, I think these things.
Oh, Jason, hello.
Yes, hey, man. I mean, I think these things could come back. I don't see, it wouldn't surprise me at all if paintings for movies came back.
I would love it. Yeah. Drew Struzan, his stuff was amazing. Who's the other
true poster?
He's retired now.
Who was the main guy, the Apocalypse Now guy before him? He was the main one before Drew Struzan. His stuff was amazing, too.
The Amzel guy? No.
No.
He did the Raiders poster.
I read some article
and a lot
about
of TV
guy
covers.
Ago,
yeah. All right, next piece of nerd news is really awesome. Muppet movie.
Yeah.
I already was excited because Jason Segel's going to do it.
Yes.
But now, word that they're talking to Pixar about it.
Well,
what?
Jason Segel is writing the new Muppet movie. Of course, he wrote Forgetting Sarah Marshall. He's written all these things. Brilliant writer, and he truly loves the Muppets, and I believe he truly gets the style of humor that it needs to be. Well, they've had several table reads for the new Muppet movie. There are some rumors that the title will be The Greatest Muppet Movie Ever.
That's
perfect.
I like
that. There are some other rumors that counter that. But in any case, we're very excited.
Like the worst Muppet movie ever? No.
The greatest worst Muppet movie.
Third worst after Muppet Treasure Island. So in any case, there was a news story today that Jason Segel and the brain trust of people creating the new Muppet movie were invited and had meetings with the heads of Pixar.
Ooh.
They did a table read for people like Brad Bird and all the guys that run Pixar.
And now Disney did this with the new Tron Legacy as well.
Brad Bird did a script polish and someone else. The guy who wrote Toy Story 3 and Brad Bird did a dialogue polish and script polish.
That Pixar is the best company ever.
Yes, because everyone will go to them.
Everything's a hit.
Yeah.
Everything they do is
great. The quality of just writing and creativity.
It's not just a hit. They are great films.
Yes.
Really awesome masterpieces.
So the fact that the Pixar crew is going to be brought in to make this even more awesome is just
astounding.
And it's hitting Christmas Day 2012, I want to say.
Okay, and speaking of Tron, we just watched the new Tron Legacy. The new Tron Legacy trailer, it looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
And they make Jeff Bridges to look the way he did in the first one. He's younger.
Well, it's a different character, but yeah.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying they
gave him a
facelift.
We don't want to give away plot points.
Well, it's in the trailer.
No, it's in the trailer. It's
no,
in the
I
trailer.
Know.
We don't know what exactly his role is specifically,
right.
But...
You don't.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Do you know, Jason?
I may have some inside information on Jeff
Oh, really?
Bridges. Sure, of course. We were out in the desert getting high last week.
Speaking though, of Muppets and all that...
Yes.
Can we talk a little bit about Amit with Fraggle Rock, or is that not allowed?
I think he's... I think they're still working on that one, you know? I mean, I think he's still...
Our listeners probably don't know what we're talking about.
Amit Zappa, who is the son of Frank Zappa, is a friend of yours, Jason.
Yeah, he's an old friend of mine.
There was talk a long time ago, and now it's coming to fruition, about a Fraggle Rock movie.
Yeah, Amit has his thing Kingdom Comics right now, which is a development company within Disney. And back years ago, I mean, I think it's like almost like 4 years ago now.
Because Disney bought Henson, basically.
Yeah,
if people don't know.
He's and I think they're trying to. I could believe they're trying to sell it now, but maybe not.
Really?
I thought they were. Yeah, I thought they were interested in parting it out, but maybe that was old news. Maybe that's like a year old. He wrote a treatment and got some people together, and he was an early producer on the Fraggle Rock film effort. So yeah,
You Bent My Wookie, who we promote here. They have an interview with Corey Edwards, who's the director of the new Fraggle Rock.
But are they still using Amit's script or his treatments? I haven't really heard about the writing.
I doubt it. You know, I mean, I did. You know, he and I did sit down and we did talk about his treatment and what he had to do with it. So
Is he going to go to Comic-Con?
I'm sure he'll be there. Yeah, actually, I owe him a call. I should give him a call when I get out of here.
Unfortunately, we are not going to Comic-Con this weekend, obviously.
No.
Neither am I.
I know.
Sucks.
We've gone so many years. It's getting bigger and bigger. Although I have to say, as big as this year is, I think next year is going to be way big, and we're definitely going to be at that one.
Because we're going to be there.
Oh, well, thank you, Jason.
Well, I mean, you know, not we... you know, together, and you guys will be together, and I'll be there, you know, passing by you and saying, hey, action room.
We're going to have, Jason's going to be our booth babe. Speaking of Comic-Con.
12 months to work out, people. PX90.
Get into that bikini body.
Yeah, you know.
Speaking of Comic-Con, I thought some interesting stories concerning like how kind of kid-friendly the Comic-Con is becoming, because they had this one story about the booth babes, and you know, originally it was Suicide Girls who were banned from it, now they're talking about, you know, just in general how they don't want it to be, you know, all about the sex and it making people feel dirty.
Well, also girls were getting like groped like en masse, and there were many complaints about sexual harassment of the booth babes.
Really?
And people getting goosed. There was apparently, what was it, a contest? EA ran a contest last year encouraging men to commit acts of lust towards booth babes. I mean, EA.
Way to go, Electronic Arts. Nice.
And they said resulting in at least one floor model getting a not-so-friendly goosing.
Ooh.
I think all goosings are friendly, but, you know, if they're not friendly, they're not doing it right.
Take that up in court.
I
just goosed her. She wanted it. Now, as far as the other thing, Piranha 3D.
Okay, I saw this story on a site called G-Fest. I don't know where they got the story, but, okay, is it Alejandro Aja, who's the director of Piranha 3D?
I want to say Aha is his first name, no? I don't know.
Aha, I thought his last name was Aha.
You might be right, you might be
anyway,
right.
Anyway, the director of Piranha 3D, which we were very much looking forward to.
And also he directed the remake of The Hills Have Eyes and things
okay,
like that.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good.
He wanted to show some footage from Piranha 3D.
At Comic-Con,
and it involved, remember there was that viral video of the Girls Gone Wild?
With Jerry O'Connell
yeah. that we talked about. Well, this footage that he wanted to premiere at Comic-Con had wet T-shirt, crazy things.
Probably Jerry O'Connell kind of plays a Girls Gone Wild
sure,
type
yeah.
guy.
A pretty like a guy who's going out filming girls doing crazy
which
things.
Is perfect for Piranha, because it
yeah.
takes place during spring break,
right,
and it's going to be an awesome movie.
And apparently Comic-Con organizers forbid him to show the wet T-shirt section, and said, you can re-edit this and submit it to us again. And he was like, no, fuck you. You can't censor me. What is this? It's Comic-Con. I should be able to, you know, show what I want. And he said, I'm not going to bring anything now, and I'm going to premiere my movie stuff somewhere else.
So the question is Comic-Con getting too sanitized and too big? And
too commercial.
Yeah, too commercial. Less comic stuff. It's
more
just all about
stars,
the movies.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie might come by this yeah. weekend. What do you think, Jason?
Look, I think, I have an interesting take. I hadn't been there in 10 years, and I've been there through most of the 90s, and I went last year, and I was blown away. It's far less comic book-centric. However, this is what I say, and I think comic book sensibilities, however, have so invaded all these other things
yeah.
Yeah.
that even
yeah.
though the comic books themselves are not that big of a deal, all the movies are comic book-like. All the toys.
What
all
are you
going to
do? It's a sign
so,
of the times. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. everything is so geeked out, you know. And as I said earlier, geek is the new rich. Yeah, see,
Richie Rich.
But no, it's is it too sanitized? I mean, look, if they're booth babes, should not be goose, and they should have security taking care of these people. But look, you know, you got to keep these things around. I mean, if you can't show a movie to, just don't let kids under 16
yeah.
in your damn room.
Yeah.
It's
yeah, I mean,
not that hard to do.
Growing up in Hell's Kitchen and near 42nd Street, you know, over the years, the porn theaters were always a part of where I grew up, but they've been...
Explains a lot.
But they've been taken away, and I think that's good, probably, ultimately, for,
yeah,
you know,
guess.
Tourists and stuff like that. But I miss it. You
of
know?
Course.
Not because I went to the porn theaters, just because that seediness was, like, part of what made Times Square.
But we're not even talking about pornography. We're talking
right.
about, you know, look, we're talking about wet T-shirts in a movie on the beach. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're talking about
well, that's the question.
Yeah,
is it too
you're talking about people fingering vaginas, you know, on the
screen. No, that's exactly my point. Are they going too
I'm
far?
Sure, Jerry O'Connell's done those movies, but...
No, are they going to get to a point where it's like, you can't dress a certain
right.
way,
right.
you know, things like that. And so I say, do you think there'll be another convention that
is like an all like a slam
like
dance
an alternate
equivalent?
Yeah yeah that comes out that's a little bit more edgy and allows for a little bit more
you know
that's not so Hollywood.
I'm fairly cynical in this respect. I don't think you're going to see that really happen. I mean, there's already lots of other cons,
mm-hmm.
and there's lots of smaller cons. So, I mean, what we're talking about probably already exists to a point anyway.
Right.
Right.
But you're not going to get the money and the just the amazeballs level of crap that goes on at CAA.
Amazeballs.
That's a new word that I've heard a lot in the last
yeah,
3 weeks.
It's
amazeballs.
Catchy, right?
Yeah. yeah. Where did it come from?
I don't know. I got it from my girl. So. that's her favorite
that's,
word.
But the thing is, I yeah. do think, though, that San Diego could, especially since geek culture is so huge now,
yes.
you could have another one that's also just as popular on some level, maybe not as
but
popular.
But more independent.
But more independent. Yeah, like
I
a
guess,
slam
I mean,
dance
look,
for Sundance.
Right,
yeah.
sure. X by XW.
Yeah.
South by Southwest.
That happens at the same time, the same weekend. I mean, it's...
Oh, who knows?
Or maybe
yeah.
a little... Like slam dance. Does it happen during Sundance?
I
think it does.
I think
yeah.
it's elsewhere, a different time.
Anyway.
I will say the banning of the Suicide Girls caused a bit of an uproar. However, these other stories... Well, the Booth Babes is significant. Significant, but the I saw no one online today discussing the Piranha 3D censorship, except for this one site.
Well, it's
so.
Kind of a small film, relatively speaking,
yeah.
but you
when
know,
you compare it with Tron
yeah,
and
of course.
Angelina Jolie, and,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly, and I'm sure they would allow Angelina Jolie to be a booth babe. So,
and it's also weird they were also doing
or to wear a wet T-shirt.
yeah.
By the way, did you notice in the Tron trailer, the new Tron trailer, when Jeff Bridges is talking to his son when he's younger? There's a picture of a black hole.
Yeah,
yeah I saw the
black hole poster.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's awesome.
I watched that movie 5 months ago. It's so great.
I'm excited. Okay.
All right.
All right. Yes. I think that's it. Jason, thanks so much for coming in.
Jason Liebig.
Thanks for almost killing me with the gator gum.
Thank you for doing what I wasn't brave enough to do.
You will never eat that gum, will you?
Oh, hell no. Those are going to, actually, I can give you. You can keep one if you'd like.
You know what?
You
I'm so scarred, I don't want it.
Okay. Oh,
but I will. I might entertain the idea of putting the video of me choking on it online on YouTube.
I think
so.
You should. Wow. Yeah, I think you should.
It's fantastic.
Give them a glimpse inside the studio.
How do we end
so,
this?
So thank you so much for listening. As always, Jason Liebig, thank you for being our guest.
Jason, do
awesome
you
as
our,
always.
Yeah, you want to take us out?
Yeah, sure. Okay, The Action Room, new shows every Monday and Friday. Join our Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Woo! You can just feel the wings twittering.
And we're out.